Welcome to Control Talk Now, your smart buildings podcast with Ken Smyers and Eric Stromquist. Control Talk Now, your source for control news you can use. And now, here is Eric.
All right, Kenny, let's get it. Hi, this is Eric Stromquist. Welcome to Control Talk Now for the week ending May 10th, 2015. This is Control Talk Now, your smart buildings video cast, and for our listeners out there, podcast. So this is where we sort of talk about the issues and the trends that are going on with buildings and smart buildings. And can't do it without my co-host, the man, the myth, the legend, the one, the only, Kenny Smyers from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Kenny, welcome to the show, Big Dog.
All right, well, thank you very much, Eric. It's great to be here. Beautiful day in Pittsburgh. Last year, we only had one day over 90 degrees. We've already had 2 days over 90 degrees, yesterday and the day before, and today I think we're going to go up 90 degrees. So it's beautiful weather. We went from winter to summer.
Oh, man. I can see it in your eyes, Big Dog. I can see it in your eyes. I know the winter was vicious up there. So it's getting warm down here in Atlanta. And I think maybe the way it cycles, Kenny, is we'll probably have a really hot summer since we had such a cold winter. And hey, buddy, I got something for you when those days get too hot in Pittsburgh, although you'll probably never do this. So, you know, I've talked a little bit in the past. I get gout and I get some arthritis in my thumb and all that. So there's a place, you know, we just moved and I found this place in the neighborhood, Kenny. It's called the Icebox and it's cryotherapy. And essentially what happens is you strip down to your underwear. They give you these little boots and some gloves for your hands, right? And you step into this big tank and it's like liquid nitrogen or whatever. So it's equivalent to being like 130 degrees below zero, something bizarre like that.
Yikes. Right?
Yeah, so you're in there for 3 minutes, right? And so so the theory in it, among other things, a lot of professional athletes are using it now, is that, that you know, it reduces the inflammation. It helps heal, you know, bruises and wounds and stuff like that. It's supposed to be good for arthritis. And the other side of it, too, is kind of cool because what happens is your body goes in shock, even though you're just sitting there talking to the person. So it's, you don't really notice it that much. It feels kind of cold, but it's not that bad. But what happens is your body goes in shock. So part of what happens is the blood goes to all your organs, which is what your body does to, when it thinks it's going into hypothermia. And then, of course, when you get out, it goes back out. Okay, so you might ask, what's the big deal with that? Well, apparently what happens is moving your blood like that gets all the toxins out of your system too. So it's supposed to be good for you.
Well, it doesn't sound good for you, Eric. I'd get a second opinion on that before I do it. It used to be called torture, by the way.
Well, yeah, you know, and well, speaking of that, I mean, it for me, it's been sort of a week of, you know, new and, you know, finding out things you didn't necessarily want to know. So the Tesla, I finally found the downside to the Tesla, Kenny, which is,
tell me about it.
Yeah, I picked up a nail in one of the tires, and guess what? Tesla does not have in their car with all the cool features.
Spare tire.
It does not have a spare tire,
you
dude.
Got a kid.
Yeah, no spare tire. And so, you know, you would think they'd have some sort of roadside assistance plan, and maybe they do, and I just don't know about it. But I was able to get to, I was able to get the tire replaced. It had a nail on the side of it, so they couldn't repair it. But
I said that was cheap, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like, you know, getting a date with the homecoming queen, and you get her back to the room, and you realize she has dentures or something like that. Man, it was a letdown. I'd be lying if I was telling anything else. It was a letdown, Big Dog, but wow. So what about you? So you getting plenty of golf or anything?
Yeah, we did. David and I went out with a couple of customers and had 18 wonderful holes of golf. Like I say, it's beautiful. It's like summertime. It's like being on vacation. It's so radically different. People walking around in shorts and coat the day before, shorts the next day. It's just, you know, that kind of night and day change of weather. It's really strange.
Well, you know, there's a philosophical thing that, you know, you can't have good without evil, and you can't have feeling good without feeling bad. And I think it applies to the weather. I mean, it's, you know, when you have a winter like you had up there, I mean, it's just as low as you were, you're going as equally as high. So there's your Zen thought for the week right there, Kenny Smyers.
I'm going to write that down. Here we go. Zen thought of the week.
But hey, Kenny, sort of getting to it. So sort of interesting thoughts. If you watch the show or listen to it, we had Fred Gordy on, a cybersecurity expert, and Fred is going to be partnering with us a lot more. And one of the things Fred graciously offered to do was to try to answer any cybersecurity questions our community might have. And Fred, as Fred said, he doesn't necessarily know everything. Matter of fact, he's very humble. but he says he does know a lot of people. So we had our first question this week, Kenny. Let me see if I can get it out here. And if you have a question for Fred about cybersecurity, you can just go to controltrends@gmail.com. Okay, so the first question we had for Fred was, are there sort of secret societies within the cyber hacking world, and do they have meetings, like whatnot? And that is from Edward, looks like Snow, Edward Snowden, maybe. So, all right, so with that, Fred... Fred Gordy recorded a video response to that, so let's roll that.
In the traditional cybersecurity realm, there's definitions, and the definitions are you have what's called a white hat, and the white hat is the good guy. The black hat's the bad guy. The gray hat's the opportunist. He's the one that kind of goes to the highest bidder, and then you have a red hat, and he's the one that actually, he's a good guy, but he's trying to poke holes in the networks to see, you know, where are vulnerabilities such as that. Well, some guys that I've had the opportunity to get to know, Billy Rios and Terry McCorkle, invited me out to Black Hat, which is a kind of a misleading. It's the good guys. It's their annual conference that they usually have in Vegas. And so they wanted me to attend to be the control side of things. And so what we did is we set up a, it had cash prize, $5,000, I believe it was. And what these guys had to do is they had to look at code from a control system and find the vulnerability to even qualify to get in to be a part of the live action, what they call kind of capture the flag. So seven guys were able to figure out the vulnerability in the code that was on the board. So they got in, and I got to sit down and watch these guys, and it was really amazing because, you know, we in the control industries understand what drivers are. We know that, you know, you got to have a certain thing inside of a control system that will let you talk to a serial device or a BACnet device, so on and so forth. Well, when I set up the control system for Billy and Terry for this capture the flag kind of thing, I asked them, what did you want me to put into the system? And they said, nothing. And so I said, okay. And it was hooked up to an Arduino serial device, which was hooked up to a pump, which had they had a balloon on it so that you could see the pump was running and everything. Anyway, it was amazing to watch these guys who had absolutely no idea what it was that they were connected to. And I can give you the detail of the conversation, but it was very obvious. They were like, what is this? And within a few minutes, they were through the first layer. There were four layers they had to get through.
Well, hang on a second. But how did they even get through the serial driver? Because, I mean, in my understanding of control, you'd have to...
Well, see, they're not there yet. With the first layer that they got through was the authentication piece.
Gotcha.
So they got through that, and that was within a minute or so. And then the next was to, let's, you know, there was some other layers that were defined that Billy and Terry wanted to see. I'll just leave it at that. I mean, I can give you more detail later. But the fourth layer was to actually drive that pump. So to your point, there was no driver. There was nothing there. But because of the code that they used, whatever, they were able to sniff out the port, they figured out what they needed to do it. Within 25 minutes, one guy who had never seen this system, didn't know anything about it, was running the pump. The other guys weren't far behind. So that's who we're up against.
Wow, 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 wow. So, all right, paint a picture. What do these guys look like? Were they drinking like Mountain Dews and sinister looking?
Starbucks? Let me put it this way. I went there and I dressed down. I went less than business casual, and I was overdressed, okay? So when I got in the room, and the guys and Terry and Billy said, well, here's our contestants, the Mountain Dews, board shorts, you know, one guy, maybe he looked like he might have been in his 30s, and he was a little bit more, you know, but for the most part, these were, you know, guys that just you wouldn't suspect were these super cyber warriors.
Wow. And most of them younger.
Oh, yeah.
So, wow.
But I will say this. What I have seen is the trend, just like everything. I mean, rock and roll, we got the Rolling Stones are in their 70s. So what's happening is this cyber age is growing. You're seeing 30, 40 years old in the white hat community. So
in all seriousness, Fred, so when, you know, you've met Ken Smyers, the man, the myth, the legend, what color hat does he wear?
I don't know. I'm still figuring.
Let me go get a hat.
Yeah.
I don't have one yet. Dang it.
No, I mean, I'll leave judgment. No, seriously. I mean, both of you guys have awesome to give me this platform. So I put a white hat on both of you.
All right. We'll take it. All right, man. Thanks for sharing that with us this week, Fred. We'll catch up with you here in the next couple of weeks. Thanks so much for being on the show again. Fred Gordy.
Thank you, guys.
All right. So there you go. White hats, black hats, red hats. Cool stuff from our cybersecurity expert, Fred Gordy. We got a post from him later in the week, Kenny. But, man, good stuff from Fred, huh?
Sure is, Eric. And as a reminder, Fred's here as an asset. He wants to help. He wants people in the building management, building automation, facility managers, everybody to get on top of the cybersecurity. So if you have any questions, again, send it to controltrends@gmail.com. Attention, Fred. And if he can't answer the question, he'll have a white hat specialist expert to help him out. He's got some amazing friends and networking and colleagues. And Fred's really passionate, so let's keep Fred busy.
Yeah, what a blessing to have Fred on board, man. So good stuff there. All right, Kenny, we've got a big week. Lots of information this week. Let's kick it off. What do we have up first?
We sure did, Eric. It was an amazing week in the Control Trends world. A lot of community inputs. The first one was Link Spring's technical bulletin, Niagara AX 3.8.1 module update. This was provided by Link Spring. They're an OEM of Tritium. They sell a lot of the Tritium Niagara framework. And they're really on top of it. Their site is probably one of the go-to sites when you want to see what's going on. But they posted it first, so we posted it, repurposed it. But it says, if you're currently using version 3.8.1, please read the product update notification. Download the upgraded module by clicking here. Extract the files to your known location. And there's some very good tips. And we appreciate Link Spring keeping us in the loop.
Oh, absolutely, Kenny. And it looks like that update has to do with some alarming problems. I'm not involved so much at the granular level with that, but you know, it seems like if you're having trouble getting your alarms and some of that stuff out, in that particular version, this is the fix for it, right?
Eric, the Tritium has released a software patch for various Niagara AX 3.8.38.1 modules. Upgrading these modules will correct the issues described in the release notes. You have release notes, alarms. The alarm failed step includes stack trace, which prevents exporting. So the release notes goes into great detail. You had some hyperlinking, and then pressing Alt plus left arrow causes alarm portal to freeze. So they give a good explanation what they did to fix it. Go to it. There's probably a good 10 pages of what would happen and what the release note solutions were. So please visit that the post. And again, thanks, Link Spring, for keeping us up to date and getting this information to us.
Cool. Thanks again to Mark P. talking to the team at Link Spring. What do we have up next, Big Dog?
All right, next up, Eric, we have Sierra monitors Varun Nagaraj IIoT, the search for equitable business models. Varun has really come up to the plate and says he's going to help us educate our Control Trends community, not only on field server information networks, but also being a leader of a primary global source of electronic communications and safety and environmental controls. Varun has incredible experience trying to figure out how we could take all this valuable technology and make it more beneficial to the end users, to the OEMs, and to the integrators. And he really did a good job. You can tell it's like a white paper. It really goes into great detail. It says, over the last few years, many of us in the control industry have been using the Industrial Internet of Things, IIoT, to describe the evolution of controlled networking in the industrial environments. So he goes into a really cool visionary type approach about how he, in his capacity as the president and CEO of, CEO and managing director of Sierra Monitor, what he can do. So he asked, the strategy was, how can I help the OEM, the user, or an intermediary operate better products? How can I help service the products better? And how can I make the product better? And it's all about using IoT to come up with better customer satisfaction.
It's great, Kenny. Varun, I tell you what, he reached out to us. Varun's going to be doing a networking show, and I think this is a harbinger just how bright this guy is. This is a really well-written article, Kenny, and it really got me thinking. He gives an example of Michelin and how they're able to put smart sensors. The sensors are getting so much smarter now and so much less expensive, and he gives an example of how Michelin is actually able to put the sensors in the tires, and now they're able to sell tires as a service. So, right. In other words, they charge you They might be able to charge you on the speed you're going at, the efficiency you're having, how many miles you drive. So again, I think this is an example of things that can come that are starting to come. And you know, guys like Varun, you know, it's not just about the product with this guy. I think if you read this article, you're going to see that he is a visionary. That was a good term for him, Kenny. He is a visionary, and he's basically reaching out to the community saying, hey, we make these, and Sierra Monitor makes all kinds of sensors, if you will, but they also make a lot of routers and backnet routers. As a matter of fact, we have an unboxing video that'll be coming up a little bit later in the show. So they make a lot of great products, but the fact that he's reaching out to the community, I mean, think about what he's doing. He's reaching out through us, through the Control Trends community, to get feedback to find out how he can build a better product that would serve the industry needs. So I encourage our community, take him up on his offer. Read this post. If you have any ideas, reach out to Varun. Again, he will be coming on doing a networking show. I think it's going to be like a monthly thing. He's agreed to do 12 shows with us. We think we're really fortunate with that. So the first show should be rolling out here in the next couple of weeks.
You're right, Eric. And I mean, I'm really glad you brought that Michelin point up, because basically he talks about what smart data does and where you go with it. But he says, at Sierra Monitor, we are in somewhat of a unique position as we grapple with these questions. We get to see the problems from two distinct vantage points along the value chain. One, we provide field server protocol gateways to OEMs to turn their devices into smart connected devices. Two, we offer our Sentry IT fire and gas detection system, which is a smart connected product to our facility managers and safety manager customers. As a result, we are in constant conversation with different constituents in the value chain, taking that data information and having an immediate impact on improving the products and the solutions. So good stuff.
Well, Kenny, it is great stuff. And it gets back, you know, I mentioned, I think, a couple of weeks ago on the show, a book I've been reading called Bold, B-O-L-D. And guys, you got to check this book out. It is phenomenal. But he sort of echo, among other things, he echoes what Varun's saying about the smart sensors, and that's changing everything. So there's different things he talked about, everything from 3D printing, which I won't talk about now, to the use of artificial intelligence, which I think is the next sort of step, if you will, with this. But basically what they've got right now, Kenny, is they've got machines that are able to read and recognize and accumulate and process data so much more accurately than human beings that you know, now they're saying that they've got law firms, for example, or medical firms that are taking and using, you know, using this stuff to get briefs written. So it's here, and we're right at the tip of it, but I don't think this is going to be one of those changes. It's going to be a gradual thing. I think it's ramping up so quickly that you're going to blink and everything's going to be different. So it's great to have a guy like Varun sort of plugged into the community, because this is a guy who obviously thinks about these things and will be part of shaping the future. So good
stuff.
Very
well said. I was trying to get that out. It's very well said. It's and you were talking about changes, and you know, the two big things keep coming up that we're seeing in the control trends is of course smart data, and you know, Project Haystack and cybersecurity and artificial intelligence, but they're all coming together now. I mean, yeah, it's all, you know, that singularity that you didn't even hear about before. Now we see from future crimes, we're well on our way. If we really knew how far advanced things were, we'd probably be shook up a little bit about it, you know?
Well, Kenny, it's funny, and here's one of the things. Again, I encourage you to pick the book up. It's called Bold, B-O-L-D. They wrote another book called Abundance, but Bold's the one I'm reading. And, you know, Kenny, I got to tell you, it's do you have it?
I sure do, Eric.
Oh, okay. Well, so they give you all these factors where you, there it is. So where you can spot it, and one of them is they say once the interface becomes easy to use, that's the tip off. They said the internet had been around since what, the 50s, and it wasn't until that guy came out with Mosaic, the browser, to make it easy that it had exponential growth. So phenomenal stuff. The other example he gives in the book is he talks about, there's a company called Airbnb, which is a site, a very easy use site. So if you want to rent a house or rent your house out, you can go on that and do it. They've been around, I think he said, for 5 years. I might not have the facts exactly right, but I think I've got the scale right. They've been around for 5 years. They have no properties of their own. They have no maid service. They just created this interface. Airbnb is valued, I think the book said, $18 billion. In 5 years, to put it in perspective, it was Hilton Hotels is valued at $8 billion. So it just sort of gives you an idea of how rapidly things are changing right in front of us. So this book will give you some clues on how to sort of be plugged in and see what's going on. And Kenny and I will probably be talking about it a lot, because you're reading it and I'm reading it, and it's boy, it opens my eyes.
Well, you got me excited about that. And this was the other book that we made a recent purchase on, was that Future Crimes.
Yes.
From Mark Goodman. And I'll tell you what, this is, if you talk about books to recommend to read to people, Zero to One was a good one. You know, going back to The Pendulum and all the other ones that we kept track on, these are really the most current brain trust releases for our benefit. So as we see our industry changing and like we're talking about cybersecurity, all these things, there's actually, you know, it's coming together. You know, all these different technologies are merging at a single point. It's going to affect the way that we do business for now and in the immediate future.
Yeah, and it's happening now as we speak. All right, Kenny, well, we could go on. I love that kind of stuff. Well, let's get on back to what was our next post, Big Dog?
The next post was Belimo. Why Belimo Gets It Right. Watch the Belimo Valve Test Lab Tour. I mean, you talk about state of the art, and you know, the intro paragraph is Belimo's engineering prowess and the innovation sets global standards in comfort, energy, and safety solutions. The video, which I watched twice actually, it's only 3 minutes, but it introduces the main players. You know, it's the whole feature of the lab is safety and ergonomics. You have Jason Little Leitner. Is the product test leader, and then you have Marty Riccicitelli, R-I-C-C-I-T-E-L-L-Y. They grew their testing space from 600 square feet to 15,000 square feet. They had 23 test points in 2001. Now they have 280, and basically, it's what you'd expect. They examine how well water flows through their valves, the flow curves. They watch 100% close off. So, and then leakage over time, they test these things up with 5,000 PSI, and it's all about durability. So they tested 100,000 times, you know, with high temperature and high pressure. So then they make their engineering changes. So no wonder Belimo has such a profound presence and leadership in the you know, valve and damper markets or damper actuator markets, because they do it right.
Well, they really do. They remind me a little bit of BMW, right? I mean, their ad is, we just do one thing, we build great cars. And Kenny, you dubbed the phrase Mount Belimo. This is up at their new facility that they just recently opened up. And I understand it's phenomenal. We were supposed to go up there, and it was about the time my baby was due, so I wasn't able to make the trip. But Lars von der Hagen and the rest of the team of Belimo, dude, I tell you what, they just stay out front. They do a great job with it. So check that video out. That's impressive, Kenny. Very, very impressive.
Well, congratulations again to Lars. I mean, now he's the CEO of Belimo International. He was Belimo Americas, and he just got the promotion to the top spot. So he was doing something right.
Well, he was, and we're hoping we can go see Lars in Switzerland. You and I, as everybody knows, we've talked about it ad nauseum, are going to the EZIO Worldwide Conference in Paris, France, this fall in September. And we're hoping maybe we can take a little jaunt over to Switzerland and maybe see Lars and get a tour of the facility over there. So, and we met those two guys last year. I forget their names at the last meeting. So Belimo has a presence all around the world. So
well, they sure do.
Good stuff. And we're going to try to see a couple other people over there, too. What was the name of the other company we met down there?
Sysmic.
Sysmic, yeah, yeah.
Dresden. We had Thermacon right above Frankfurt.
Yeah.
So we'll see how things work out.
Yeah, and if you remember the Control Trends community, Kenny will also be doing an Oktoberfest tour in Germany. So if you want to join Kenny.
Kenny and Eric.
Kenny and Eric for a little Oktoberfest, which Kenny was telling me has nothing to do with October. It actually, Oct is 8. So it's the 8th month of the year. So Oktoberfest is actually in September, correct?
Correct.
So we win some bar bets that way and take those proceeds and buy Kenny a drink when you see him in Germany.
Rita, don't listen to this. That's not true. We're working. All work. No play.
Yeah, Rita. Yeah, that's right. All right, Kenny, before I get you in any more trouble, what do we have up next, Big Dog?
Oh, next up is another good post. This was an amazing week. So many products, so much good stuff to share. This was a level and flow training part one. This was learning about the industrial and commercial level and flow control metering and control with Honeywell's SmartLine level application. So it was a major video on whys, hows, and the different ways to measure levels. And it was done by Mr. Tom Brands, Honeywell's marketing manager. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we, as you follow Control Trends in a while, we think one of the trends in our industry is live stream training. And so at Stromquist and Company, We have really invested a lot of time and energy trying to figure out how to do that, and this was a video expert. So when we do the live streaming, people can participate. They can be online watching live and asking questions via chat. And then what we do is we take those videos after the live stream, and then we cut out any sort of external. We edit them up a little bit. In other words, you don't need to be watching 5 minutes of somebody eating a donut while we're taking a break. So we edit it up so we can streamline them, and then we make them available archived. And this is an archive of part one of Flow and Level Training that Tom Brands from Honeywell did. And it's also sort of more geared to our industrial control trends community, which is growing very, very rapidly, Kenny. Although the principles would apply whether you're doing a commercial application or an industrial application. And Honeywell is a real leader with that. Their flow transmitters, their level transmitters are bar none. They've really pioneered some technologies in there that really save the customers a lot of money. So if you are using Rosemont or Yamataki or some of these other brands, I encourage you to reach out to your local Honeywell Industrial Controls distributor. Hear what they have to say. And this particular thing, we're going to roll right into the Honeywell Radar control offering, which is another way to do level control. So good stuff, very informative, and thanks to Mike Bonner and our ever-growing video team at Stromquist & Company, him and Rob Allen, good quality as well.
Yeah, and just for another aside there, that it's great sales engineering tools. Honeywell does a good job all the time on marketing, and the PowerPoint is actually a very, very good basis, you know, to follow by using his techniques. It really gets the information across, and you remember it. So it's a good selling. Yeah,
it does. And one of the technologies we're working with, because there's nothing worse than having somebody shine a camera on a PowerPoint that's up on the wall. That's just the worst. I mean, that's really hard to follow. So we actually have a technology now where we're actually able to show you his computer screen without going through a camera. We're actually bringing that in through a switching software we use. So it's very clean, very crisp, very easy to follow.
Right on. Okay, Eric, now we're going to turn to a more serious note. This post is by one of our favorites now, and a great contribution made to the Control Trends community. It's Mr. Fred Gordy, and he asks, are you ready to react or pre-act? And I have critical information contained herein within because, I mean, we need to get people's attention because the term pre-act, PRE-ACT, to me, is going to become a very well-known word because he's all about operational technology, operational, learning what to do to prevent vulnerabilities, learning what to do to, to have a good cyber security basis to begin the conversation. Fred generously gave us what I consider to be, I printed out, and when I talk to people, I have it with me. We have it on the post. He did a real clean job on it. It's a very nice document. But, we're talking now getting into the nitty-gritty of cybersecurity. We finally got ourselves a source that's just a wonderful guy. He's very humble, very intelligent. And he tells you, if I don't know, I'll find out because he's got networks. He's got colleagues that are the white hats in the industry and the red hats in the industry. And Fred's he's availing these resources to us through Control Trends. So you have a couple of videos coming up. And then the questions are coming in, but I feel like reading this whole thing, but it's about facts, figures, and then it takes you on a checklist approach on what you need to do about, do you have a plan? Do you know what cybersecurity off the network, and create your password protection. That's the first two steps, but Fred has taken the time to give us a very itemized checklist. I would recommend you print it out. If you don't have a policy, this could serve as a basis for your cybersecurity policy for a corporation, for a small company, large company, for anybody, because it really and truly covers the A through Z of immediate thought, the responses you would take, the quick reactions, the quick reaction checklist.
Kenny, it is so rich. I mean, there's so much. We could spend days just talking about this one post. It is so rich. So a couple things that stand out to me. If you need an incentive to read this, Fred points out that there's a study done that 97% of organizations have been hacked and don't even know it. Okay, out of that, it's a very high percentage. It's usually somebody from the outside that's letting him know that their security systems have been breached. It's usually 243 days before they realize it's happened. It's sort of terrifying. Fred stopped by the office the other day, Kenny, and we were sort of talking. I mean, when you talk about passwords and all, it was like, we were asking him, we said, so Fred, how do people get the passwords? I mean, what's the secret to that? And he said, they don't get the passwords. What they do is they tunnel into the software. They know where in the software, where your computer, that password is. So they just, they crack that open. So whatever password you have, if they can get to that, you know, that's how they get in. You know, and, you know, earlier when we opened the show, he was talking about the guys hacking through, you know, at that conference, right? And so that's how they did it. They basically, their programs that they can get in and do that with. And the other thing that was really concerning, Kenny, is he was saying that these are not just professional hackers. He said for like $40, you can go on Amazon or whatever. So if you're not even an accomplished coder or hacker, you can buy software for like $40-$50 that will hack you into people's systems. So it is scary, scary stuff. And I really encourage you to read this post. You know, if you have questions, again, controltrends@gmail.com. Ask Fred. Fred will help get your questions answered. But our community is really lucky that Fred has agreed to come on and share this with us. Because I tell you what, the first step is awareness. You've got to have awareness of this and how serious it is. And like he says, it's not necessarily a question of if you'll get hacked. It's how are you going to respond when you do.
Well, Eric, you're so right about Fred being such a nice guy. But there's so many facts and figures to go over that I would just recommend, please visit that post and print it out. It'd be the best 4 pages you've invested as far as having a ready made answer and understanding for your organizations. Not just, you know, I mean, there's a lot of people that are real smart and they know it and they don't need this help, but there's a lot of people that don't know where to begin. And I have some information on that. In fact, we have a study that we got off the internet where they say that, there's a company, or not a company, but there's a university that did a survey, and they found out that that despite all the noise we're making here, people are more into compliance than they are actually protection. For the third time, the survey revealed that the boards are not actively addressing cyber risk management. They place high importance on compliance and not getting fined and getting penalties, but as far as actually taking measures to reduce their vulnerability to cybersecurity, people still aren't taking it seriously. We have a study where the guy says, Jim Noble, former CIO and current instructor at New York Institute of Finance, said to make sure that, it says, find out how much IT budget is allocated to security. Noble says that anything under 50% should ring alarm bells. If those alarm bells are ringing, it's probably time to increase your security spending. And then the last comment I'll make on it is that with it says that you can't expect people, no matter how intelligent they are or what position they're in an organization, no director can hope to be a cybersecurity expert. It is beyond a full-time job to understand and stay current with cyber risk and technology. Therefore, reliance on experts like Fred Gordy is inescapable. Experts may include selected management and outside experts. And secondly, cybersecurity is a pervasive and permanent risk. It applies to all businesses, operations, and people in business. While some people might have more responsibility than others, cybersecurity is everyone's business. So, again, we go into deep end on this one forever. It's the deep end.
We do, and we'll continue with this. I think one of the other, and I love Fred Gordy. God, Kenny, I love him because you know what? He's just got that kind of personality that he never pretends like he doesn't know anything he does, but he loves people. People really respond to him. I know we have. But sure. Fred was telling us, remember when you were in Atlanta, he was telling us how he went to, I guess this whole cybersecurity thing has opened up a whole, thing for lawyers. It's like the lawyers are like sharks circling around this, you know, who's liable and whatnot. So Fred actually attended a seminar that was for lawyers about, how to protect people, companies from cybersecurity breaches and how to sue people, right? So it's like big whole division of law has come up around this. So Fred's like the only attorney that's not there. So, which I love that about the guy. This is the type of guy he is. He's just awesome. And, of course, he hangs out with Billy the Kid Rios and all these other great people. So he's plugged in with the who's who of this. But Fred was telling us, and this is kind of in this post, he was telling us, they ask everybody if they were aware of, the target, who here is aware of the target breach, right? And everybody raised their hand, right? Because they had that. These are attorneys teaching other attorneys, right? And they said, well, who's aware of, and I think it was Blue Cross Blue Shield, who had even a bigger breach. And like one or two people in the room knew it. And he said, well, what was the difference with this? And Fred said the lawyers are saying the difference is, and this is outlined in this post that Fred has, that Blue Cross, I think it's Blue Cross Blue Shield was the one, had a response plan. They immediately responded. They knew what they were going to do if they got hacked, where Target didn't. And consequently, just the amount of reputation burn that Target got out of this,
sure.
negative publicity, negative brand publicity was it's inestimable. You can't, you know. So everybody's got to have a plan. And this is the seminal document. Seminal, that's a vocab word. Can you use that, right? That's
seminal,
the,
yeah.
Yeah. This is a seminal document that you need to get on board with. So again, encourage our community, check this out. And I also encourage you, please ask questions. We've got this great resource with Fred Gordy. You know, maybe what we'll do with Fred, maybe we can get his team sometime together, Kenny, and maybe we'll do like a Google Hangout where we can get Fred and Billy the Kid Rios and several of them on, where people can participate and ask questions, like a live stream, open forum or something like that. So we'll talk to Fred about that, see if we can pull that off.
All right, Eric, we're going to have another cybersecurity post here towards the end of the show, so we'll probably go through this again one more time, so we'll cycle back on the very last post, or second last post, cool. is another one. But moving along, we have Tritium. Discover the possibilities with a JACE 8000 and Niagara 4 licensing. This is there's going to be a free hour-long session given three times. Wednesday, May 13th, 8:30 Eastern Standard Time. Tuesday, May 19th, 10 a.m. Eastern. And Thursday, May 21st Eastern Standard Time, 1 o'clock. 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. And it's going to be about Tritium Talk, highlighting the Niagara framework. With nearly 500,000 instances worldwide, Niagara is quickly becoming the operating system of the Internet of Things. And with the anticipated release of Niagara 4 and the JACE 8000 controller, the opportunity to achieve operational excellence is even greater than before. So everybody's excited about it. Everybody wants to see this new, they were calling it the Titan, but it's actually the JACE 8000. And we do have a part B post to this too, because people were talking about the bridge training, when that's going to happen. That'll be our last post of this week's Control Talk Now.
So Niagara 4, it looks like we're getting close to that release then, Kenny. And so again, it was great. You put links on the site on that post, so you can just click on one of those links and register for one of those sessions. Nice work, buddy.
Yeah, it's a great, it's really, really good product. I love it. Okay, next up we have Carl Johnson and his amazing 42-year career with Honeywell. This is a tribute to a guy that just, he laid it all on the table, and he's still very successful. He is not retired, so somebody's asking if he was. No, he's still working for Honeywell. But what happened was, you're going to tell us all about it, because I thought this was one of the best interviews we've ever done. But this is really what the Control Trends and the Control Trends Awards are all about, is to take a career like this and place it in a high position where people can see it and examine it, because this guy did it all, saw it all, went through the entire evolution of controls from the pneumatic and the relays and the solid state all the way up to DDC, all the way to the enterprise integration. So imagine that kind of a career where you see that much of the parameters of our controls, you know, the real growth in our business. And then, he set a standard that I think, you know, we can measure other, sales engineers and support people by, because this guy just had a great attitude. He loved his job. He actually thought that he contributed every day to make the world a better place, because he gave people solutions. He gave them economical comfort, and he thought that was a very noble profession. I agree with him wholeheartedly.
Well, I do too, and you know, that's part of what the Control Trends Awards are all about, is making sure guys like Carl get acknowledged. And Troy Rickard from Honeywell Marketing had asked us, said, "You got to meet this guy." He knew we were going to be at the AHR show and the Control Trends Awards. And by the way, thank you to Honeywell for their platinum sponsorship again. We really appreciate companies like Honeywell. Out that the Control Trends Awards are not possible. But Troy reached out and said, "Hey, look, if you get a chance, stop by the Honeywell booth, meet Carl. He is a class act. He's been with Honeywell for 42 years. And like you said, Kenny, he's seen it all. And I tell you what, he's there's an elegance about him. There's a gentlemanliness about him that, I haven't seen in years. I think when you and I both got involved in the business and, you know, the early days, our fathers, there were more guys like Carl out there but Carl just been there, seen it. And I think, you know, he is, when guys like Ken Sinclair of automatedbuildings.com or Paul Oswalt from ESI talk about, one of the challenges we have is the tribal knowledge leaving the building. I mean, they're talking about guys like Carl. I mean, how do you replace a guy like Carl, who started with pneumatics the early days of DDC, all the way up to the integration things we're dealing with now, and at the same time having the perspective of seeing how the industry's changed. And I mean, I think having that perspective is something that you just can't be taught. You know, it's like if you look at a professional tennis player, professional golf, or professional football player, there's something that comes about with just logging the hours. I mean, you get a perspective, you get you just don't get, I mean, from not doing it for a long time. So he was a delight, Kenny. Huh? He was what a great guy. What fun.
Sure was. Like you say, it was he made a statement about bringing young people into the business, and you were going there with the travel knowledge, but also Ken St. Clair and Paul Oswald are champions on getting attracting attention to new young smart people and using the IoT, the Internet of Things, to couple that and get their attention and put that IoT to work in our HVAC and building management and building automation businesses. And Carl, he says that, you know, this is a great career. He loved his career. He couldn't think of a better way to, he's working with people, he was working with technology, and he was producing, positive results, green economic, comfort results. And that's the kind of advertisement we need as an industry. That's kind of the image change we need to have. So when we're trying to attract young kids, they don't think that this industry is kind of like nameless. It's everybody takes it for granted. Every building has to have, comfort. Every air, has to have air conditioning, conditioned air, water being pushed through, everything. And they don't understand what's going on to get that to happen. It's so automatic that people don't. There's people like Carl in educating, him taking the time to explain how products work, get them sold, get them spec'd, get them. That's a very, very good, I think, noble business. So the point is that Ken St. Clair and Paul Oswald and Control Trends, we're trying to use young guns and everything we can to attract more talent, young talent, using technology and to sustain our careers, our industries, because there's not too many people behind us now growing in the ranks,
Thought. That's true. And then, it's so cool because, we've got some fantastic young guns coming up. As you go back and look at the 2014 Control Trends, what a class it was. Guys like Jason Hauck from Hepta Systems. So we got some great people coming along. And the other thing I liked about Carl, Kenny, is in the video, he talks about how he teaches high school students and he's trying to attract people in the industry. And what a great steward for our industry, Carl Johnson, Honeywell. Many, many thanks to that interview. Check it out. What do we have next, big dogs?
All right, another great product. Unboxing the Sierra Monitor dual port BACnet router. And this is another great job by Michael Bonner, where he just does it so easily. It makes it very easy to understand. It's almost like if I had to sell one of these and give somebody some background, I'd say go to Control Trends, watch that video, because he just takes it out, starts it up. But just talk briefly about Sierra Monitor's BTL certified BACnet router. It came out at the beginning of the year. And it is the protocol router spearheading the theme ease of use. Systems integrators love saving time and costs. Well, they sure do. So Sierra introduced this product again back in January. And since then, it has gained a lot of traction in the building automation industry.
Well, Mikey likes it. So, and Mike Bonner, we're so fortunate to have him at Stromquist. He is one of our technical leaders. And Mike's another, he's a young gun. He started out in a family business and, by the age of 10 was reading blueprints. I think Jason Hauck from Hepta said at, 8 to 10 years old, he was doing DOS commands. So he sort of comes from that elk. And guys like Mike, I mean, they're not easily impressed. They do not give praise out unless it's due. And so Mike liked it. I think the big thing with this router, in addition to its ease of being able to set up, is it does have two ports on it. So it eliminates the need for two routers if you need that. And some other benefits, check it out. Mike goes through them. And Mike goes it primarily from a systems integrator's point of view. In other words, I'm a guy in the field. Why would I want to use this? Be sure to check it out. And, of course, we'll get to have a chance to talk to Varun and hear more from Sierra Monitor with the networking show that they're coming out with. And that'll be probably we go to Haystack next week, Kenny, so I suspect it'll be the week after that.
Righto. All right, next up we have a Honeywell Security Controller Exchange Program. And with their Honeywell's giving the notice that the flag controller to begin the security world at the SEC-H-201 is going to be replaced. Well, it has been replaced, but it's going to lose its support. The primary reason, I'll just read it real quick here, is that the security H-201 Webb's AX security controller was introduced in 2007. At the time, this platform was a good product on which to deliver the original standalone web-based security application. However, over time, the security application has grown into in both features and complexity, and the 201 is no longer suitable to run the latest Webb's AX enterprise security applications. So that's the problem, but Honeywell comes up with a great solution, which I think more manufacturers should do this, encourage a trade-in, give you some value back, you know, so you have, so what they're doing is they're going to give, they have an exchange program that will be offered through December 31st, 2015. So there's a hot button there. When you do it, it actually goes through what you need to do and how to submit your request for a replacement, which is the SEC-H602 security controller. So I really like the fact that Honeywell is in, you know, standing up at the plate, giving you a good trade-in, and then it shows you how to save the station and some great guidance. So it's a very well put together, thought out exchange program, and take advantage of it because it ends December 31st, 2015.
We'll remind you guys of that a little bit more. And yeah, I want to say a little bit about, we haven't talked about this guy in a while, Roger Rebenack, the most exciting man in the controls industry. But just sort of an example as to how Honeywell stands up. We sold a big security project here in Atlanta, and we had one of the best tech reps ever, and a guy named Stephen Haynes. Stephen has since moved on to another company, so we miss Stephen. There was a little bit of concern by the customer because the customer obviously had a lot of confidence in Stephen as well. And I tell you what, as busy as Roger Rebenack is, talking about stepping up to the plate, Roger's made a commitment to us and the customer. He's going to be coming to Atlanta like once a week for the next until the job's done. So he's assured the customer and assured us that he personally is going to make sure that that he supports our integrator to make sure that job gets done right. And you know, that's the kind of stuff, Kenny, that legends are made of. And we love Raj. And so, Raj, if you're listening, really appreciate that. And hopefully while Raj is in town, we'll get him on to the show a little bit. But good job, Honeywell.
With Roger, because he's coming to Pittsburgh, too. And we really rely on him. I mean, he does follow through. When he gives his word and says, I'm going to do something, I don't know if this belongs on our post, but he really makes a personal commitment to make sure things get done.
Well, he does. I think he takes it personally, which is not a bad thing. I mean, you know, in other words, Roger takes a lot of pride in what he does. If you hadn't had a chance to meet Roger yet, just reach out to your local Honeywell distributor and say, hey, you're interested in Honeywell security, but you want to meet the most exciting man in the controls industry, Roger Rebenack. If you go to any of the videos we have, like Roger, of course, he's bigger than life. And he, if you look at that, the video we premiered last week with Vladimir, Roger, of course, is the one who's dancing with the two models on the red carpet. So, but yeah, just a fantastic guy.
He's got a great team. He's got Laura Cavett, supporting him, and Richard Vogel.
Yeah.
Two really, really, impressive support people that know the business inside and out. So
yeah,
good stuff. All right, Eric, moving on here. We've got Mark Petock, cybersecurity in the boardroom. But let's first just take a quick segue to the Haystack. When's the Haystack, Eric? May 18th through the 20th. Tell us about the Haystack.
Man, I tell you what, this time next week, the man, the myth, the legend, I'll be meeting in Denver and driving down to Colorado Springs for the Haystack, the second conference. We were there at the first one. I tell you what, Kenny, this is going to be phenomenal. We talk about one of the themes we talk about is how the face of competition is changing, that you can compete like heck with people, but then sometimes you got to come together to collaborate to make the industry and the products better. And Haystack is, among other things, a tagging convention. So the greats are going to be there, and Kenny and I are going to get to cover it. So I can't wait to get there, buddy. I really can't. I'm going to see our friend Mark Petock, Scott Mensch from J2 Innovation. Jerry Frank will be there. John Petsy. I mean, on and on and on and on.
Right. Smart data, smart devices, smart buildings all come together to make smart business. But it's going to be a networker's paradise. First of all, you got incredible sponsors. You got KMC, ESI, J2 Innovation, Sky Foundry, Interstellar, Linkspring, Lobos Yardi, Pacific Controls, Energy Advantage, and the U.S. and UNS Services, Airmaster, Connex, Daintree, Siemens, Varis, Viconics, BAS, Altura, Contemporary Controls, Wind, Wayno, Wattstopper, Onicon. Just an amazing assembly now have come together. The media sponsors, CABA, CTA Awards, that's us, Automated Buildings, COR Advisors, and Realcom. So I mean, this you can show it shows you that Project Haystack is growing. It's a big thing.
Well, and I tell you what, Kenny, I mean, logistically, it just occurred to me, we're going to be traveling next Sunday, so maybe we just do the show from Colorado.
Okay.
Well, you say I'll stop and pick up a plate full of brownies, and we'll get all these great people together, and we'll have a show.
I heard, listen to this, I did not know this. They said that you can buy marijuana now out of vending machines. Is that true?
I don't know, but Colorado. I tell you what, we will report from Colorado and let our community know this.
Okay.
But yeah, no. But logistically, so if you guys don't see a show, next Sunday or Monday, it's probably because Kenny and I are going to record it out there. So we might be a little late next week, but it would be really cool to get a bunch of guests on. That would be a really cool way to do it, Kenny. Maybe the whole theme next week we'll just try and get four or five or six of these doyens of the industry and bring them in. Huh?
Sure, Fred Gordy's going to be out there too. So
that's we'll right. We can see Fred. We'll have Fred be the
cybersecurity meeting.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, cool.
Well. Let's just conclude this then. This is our second to last post. Mark Petock, Cybersecurity and the Boardroom. This, again, is we have an intro paragraph. Cybersecurity has taken a pole position at the Control Trends, and we are grateful to the important content and contributions being provided by HVAC and BAS cybersecurity professionals like Mark Petock and Fred Gordy. Our industry has a long, long way to go to meet the challenges of cybersecurity, but we are getting on the right track with the guidance we've received from these generous professionals sharing their expertise. This particular post, it's so insightful and valuable, but we're going to be our HVAC, BAS, and BMS and facility management, whatever we are all together, are going to be using new words. And one of them is duty of care. In other words, when we take over somebody's building management system and we are the, we're the leading, contributors to the success of that, we have to include cybersecurity because there's a thing called duty of care. And then there's another nice phrase coming out there, the tone at the top. That's the CEOs and how they impact. They set the tone and they ultimately have responsibility. We're going to see new equations like risk equals threat times vulnerability times impact, and risk equals probability times impact. So these are going to come down, they'll be converted, no doubt, into a different template or a different set of words, but they're going to mean the same thing, is that there's going to be ways now to incorporate the cybersecurity requirements into the specifications, into the and we saw the recent reference to budgets. Right now, the hardest thing for cybersecurity, in my opinion, is people don't want to pay for it. Somebody else's problem, somebody else is going to foot the bill for it. And what we're seeing now with these professionals and with Mark Petock and Link Spring and the Cyber Pro, we're now having some products. We're having some intelligence on how to apply the products. And we have some consulting value coming from Fred Gordy and his colleagues, so that we're actually going to really get good at this, I think. I think we're going to go from being a worst-case scenario, we didn't know anything about it, didn't really want to know, but now we have to know, and now we're going to have a way to implement things and do it correctly. But this is a good post. It has two... Mark, he's very insightful too. He's probably has more of a C-level, C-suite type of thing because that's what he does. He's a marketing manager or director of marketing for Vice President of Marketing, Linkspring and Connex, where he leads the corporate product marketing strategies and executions. But he's on a lot of boards and he has a lot of influence. But he also is keeping his eyes and ears open, giving us updates with cybersecurity. So thank you very much, Mark.
Kenny. Very, very rich, and Mark Petock is one of the greats, and not only do we, Kenny, have a lot of respect for him, we really like him. And for our podcast listeners out there, the Boardroom, it's not B-O-R-E-D like your board, it's B-O-A-R-D, because this is something that's no longer boring. And Kenny, you talk about those standards. Fred Gordy had stopped by this week. He showed me like a 25-page document, and his company does building automation controls for a couple of financial institutions, and they are requiring that these guys have a cybersecurity plan in place, meaning the integrator, and that includes cyber awareness. They have to do X amount of hours of training every year. Their employees all have to be on. Their computers have to be checked, and the list goes on and on and on. So this is, eventually probably going to filter up to the distributors and the manufacturers as well. So it's all of our responsibilities. And, you probably knew this, Kenny. I didn't because, when Quirub was there, a couple of our people were talking about who cares about, we've heard this before, who cares about the building automation control system? And so Fred sort of explained what goes on with that is that if your BAS system is on a network, like a a company's network. Okay, they can come in through like a controller, and then like so, let's say you're the maintenance guy, Kenny, and you go to, or maybe you're the CEO and you want to see what the temperatures are. You go in on your computer to check that, and once it's on that controller, then it's able to go from the controller onto your laptop or your computer. Now you're on the company network, and then that's where they can wreak the havoc. And again, from that earlier post, they're typically on there for almost a year before people even know if they're lucky enough to know that they're there. So this is, we're going to be talking a lot about this. We'll get a chance to talk to Mark a little bit about it and Fred in Colorado at the Haystack meeting.
Eric, I'll tell you what, because of Fred Gordy and the finger he pointed to, you know, learning about this stuff, I was reading over the weekend how, you know, they do what they call air hopping now, that they can actually use the sensors. Neighboring computers aren't connected at all. The one will take the heat from the generated by the one computer next to the other computer and jump into it.
Wow.
using the heat sensors that are required for the fan to operate your computer.
This
it gets out of hand. It's just really true. Like, it's like pulling on a string. It leads into a larger rope and doesn't stop coming. It keeps it not only is it interesting and fascinating, but I could see how this is going to be it's going to dovetail into what we're doing, because we have to work with computers. We are going to have exposure. So you got to know what you're doing, so that you don't inadvertently subject yourself to liability and risk.
Well, I tell you what, Kenny, another Zen saying: where there is chaos, there is opportunity. And Jim Young was on last week. If you didn't get a chance to check that out, from Ibicon Railcom, we interviewed him last week. He was on the show. So check that out if you didn't see it. But where I'm going with that, Kenny, is a big part of the Ibicon Railcom conference is going to be dealing with this very issue. And Jim's got some of the top people on the planet coming in to talk about that too. But I think it's one of those things. We just step up. We become part of the problem. But sticking your head in the sand and thinking it doesn't exist is not going to do it.
Exactly. And I think it's what Fred Gordy does the best, is he starts a conversation that takes the scare factor out of it and the wow factor and gives you real practical steps to take so that it's manageable. Which brings us to our last post. Again, we thank Linkspring because they got it to us first. It says, Linkspring, go further. Important NTCP training update. And this was one of the things we talked about last week and before. We didn't know, and that may have been why we got this email. But it says, training and knowledge exchange is very important at Linkspring. We are committed to making each of you as effective as possible with our technology and products so we can enable you to achieve the very best technical knowledge and expertise you can. But what this, to me, is the first release on the Niagara AX technical certification classes. There's a schedule. So Linkspring, number one, is a source for AX certification if you're in a bad way, because the classes are selling out. The AX platform is growing. All of a sudden, the nice weather, people want to travel around or get to training, or the budget's right, or the project provides the source funding to send somebody down to training. There's no classes to go to because they're all filled up. So Linkspring is an opportunity. They have their training schedule is May, June, July, August, September, October, November, December. So every month they have at least one training class. And then they talked about the Niagara 4 Bridge course. Niagara 4 Bridge course is a self-paced e-learning course highlighting new features in Niagara 4. The course consists of several modules that provide multiple methods for learning, such as expert videos, demonstrations, simulations, technical documentation. The student will take a mini exam at the end of each module to qualify to be Niagara 4 certified. So I'm sure this is it. I haven't heard it from the actual Niagara down in Richmond, you know, Tritium folks, but this is how we're going to have to get your extended the bridge training to get Niagara 4 certified. So some of the contractors we had, some of the users, they want to know, well, how are we going to do it? This is how we're going to do it.
E-learning makes a lot of sense. Obviously, we're big fans of video training and stuff like that. It's interesting because Vern Peters from MOV Training, who is one of the preeminent Niagara trainers, has been for years. He was in Atlanta last week doing a training class for us. And Vern said he's going to be teaching Niagara 4 too. So they might offer a couple of options then. Maybe you can do it via e-learning or actually in class. But let's try and get some clarity. Jenny Graves, if you're listening out there, get us some clarity so we can get the community updated on this. But Kenny's right about one thing. Those classes fill up so quickly. I know we've got, I think, Vern coming in six times or seven times next year to Atlanta, and he's booked out through 2018, I think. So, and that gets back to Linkspring is another great option for you. So check those guys out as well.
Okay, just to clarify, it says, why do I need new NTCP certification if I am already Niagara AX certified? And it says, Tritium has announced that Niagara AX certification is a separate credential than Niagara 4 certification. And users who wish to be certified must be trained on Niagara 4, even if they are already certified for Niagara AX. So to summarize the post, Linkspring has both opportunities. They can certify you in the standard, or what used to be the standard Niagara X technical certification class that will now include Niagara 4, or they can provide you the Niagara 4 bridge training. So that's that might be a way that a lot of people are going to try to
I would think so.
Get their additional certification requirement. All right, Eric, that's it for this week.
Okay, so wraps up another week on Control Talk Now, your smart buildings, video cast, and podcast. I'm Eric Stromquist. He is the man, the myth, the legend. A very special thanks to Fred Gordy for all that he does. We appreciate you guys. Have a great week. Hopefully the weather is nice where you're at. And remember, stay in control.
Indeed, Eric.
Indeed, Kenny Smith.